We turn now to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. This is our ninth message on the first chapter of Acts. We elect to conclude our studies on this first chapter tonight. We trust you'll be out, and then next Lord's Day, we'll get into chapter 2, which is a very important chapter. Start this morning at verse 15 of Luke, or Acts chapter 1. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120, Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch that that field is called in their proper tongue a Salama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, Let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and let his bishopric or office another take. Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, and that's his resurrection title, the Lord Jesus, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day, that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11. We'll go into detail in those verses tonight, Lord willing, so we trust you to come along with your Bible and bring someone with you. It's not a very pleasant subject to speak on Judas because it has some searching lessons for us all. In other words, there are those who say that Judas was a Christian, but he was lost. Others say, no, he never was a Christian. What does the Bible say? Well, we'll give you what the Bible does say, and the speaker on this occasion is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there are those who have a prejudiced mind, and they'll ignore all the evidence that we can give them from the Bible. They are just set in their mind that you are saved, you can be lost again. I know one, a very prominent figure in a certain denomination by the name of John Church. There are only three others beside himself in that large denomination worldwide, and they are the four evangelists of that denomination. I knew John well when I was in Winston-Salem many, many years ago. So he spoke one Sunday on the subject of, can a Christian be lost again? I went around on the Monday to see him for a little while, and when we were leaving, I said, John, I was very much surprised to hear that you use for your argument that a saved person can be lost again, you use Judas Iscariot and the experiences of people who have professed in your meetings. John, I said, I'm surprised and I'm ashamed to think that you would use such arguments. And yet he did. In other words, his arguments were relative to experiences. He said, I have seen people profess in my meetings, they would give up their bad ways and give up their drink or whatever they were doing, and they were gloriously saved, he said. But then they lost it, and they went back into sin. And that was one of his arguments that a saved person could be lost it. Now, you can't base your arguments on experience. Like I said to him, I said, John, I can quote for you hundreds and hundreds of people who accepted Christ and didn't go back. They went on for the Lord. Am I going to use that as my argument that once a person is saved, he's saved before, forever because he continued? No, I've got a better argument than that. I've got the Bible. Christ says, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. And John, how do you know they were gloriously saved? That's your opinion. I've seen many a one who also made a profession and went back, and I certainly believe this. Their hypocrisy in the end, like Judas, proved they were a hypocrite all along. They were not gloriously saved, even though they made a loud profession to begin with. They didn't go on. And there are those referred to in Matthew 13, that when the seed was sown, they sprang up immediately, but because they had no root, they fell away. No root. And if the root is not in them, there's not going to be any root. And so instead of using Judas Iscariot and the experiences of people going back from their initial profession, as your argument, we've got plenty more evidence, more convincing than that. For instance, notice the betrayer, Judas Iscariot, and he's prophesied back in the Psalms. We'll have more to say about that tonight. Christ says prophetically, my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, hath lifted up his heel against me. That's what Christ said prophetically concerning Judas Iscariot. What do we have about his character in the Bible? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ makes it very plain that Judas was an unbeliever. What did he say? Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not. Now, Judas knew when he called Judas, or Christ knew when he called Judas, that he was still an unbeliever. He knew that. And then again, Christ said he has a devil in John 6 and 7. Once again, and this was a year before Judas fell, and Christ said, one of you is a devil. And that was a whole year before he came out and sold the Lord. That's very hard to take in, but it's right in your Bible, but Judas never is called a saint. Christ said, friend. He didn't call him a saint. And Judas never did call Jesus Christ Lord. He said, Master. Never once do you find Judas calling Jesus Christ Lord. And no man can call Jesus Christ Lord from the heart unless the Spirit of God is in him. That's what Christ says. Then again, not only did he have a devil, and Christ said that, he was unregenerate. Ye are clean, says Christ, but not all. He's talking to the 12. And so Judas was unregenerate. He never had been born again, for that's what Christ is referring to. Ye are clean, that is some of you, and leaven. They have been born again, but not. And so Judas was unregenerate and he was unclean. For it says in that same connection, he spake of Judas Iscariot, which was to betray him. Then he's called a thief. In other words, as far as Judas was concerned, he didn't see the truth of worship. When the 300 pence that dear woman parted with to buy that alabaster box of ointment, she wanted to worship her Lord. She wanted to break that alabaster box upon his feet. Judas says, why was this waste of the ointment made? It might have been sold, or that 300 pence might have been kept and given to the poor. He said this because he was a thief and had the bag. Now that's what the Bible says. He didn't see worship. He didn't appreciate worship. He wanted that 300 pence in the bag because he had it. And he didn't use it. And that was before he came out and denied the Lord or betrayed the Lord. Christ says he is a thief. And he has the bag. Then again, concerning Judas, he was possessed by the devil. Now there's a difference in having a demon and then being possessed by the devil. What it says, Satan entered into him. Lots of unsaved people have a demon. That's satanic influence. But when one becomes an apostate, Satan enters into them, and they become Satan in part, for such there is no hope. That's where the apostates come in Hebrews chapter 6 and chapter 10. An apostate, there's no hope for an apostate. And when Judas finally made his decision to betray Christ or to sell 30 pieces of silver, he became an apostle. And right here is where he sealed his own doom. He wrote his signature on his own death warrant. He became Satan incarnate, for Satan entered into him. Now, just like when a person is saved by the grace of God through accepting the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ enters into you. By His Spirit, He dwells in your heart. And you might say every Christian is Christ incarnate in it. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And just when Christ enters into the heart of every born-again person, that person from then on is saved. When the devil enters into a man, he's born of that wicked one, the Bible says. There's no hope for him. He'll remain forever what he became when he allowed Satan to enter into him. Up till this moment, the door was open, and Judas had a chance. Right from the time Christ called, Judas had a chance. It showed that he was trusted when they let him be secretary and treasurer at the office. And Christ knew that man all along. But Christ was doing everything for that man to change his mind. But in spite of all that Judas saw and heard, he finally made up his decision. I'm going to sack. When he did, the door was shut. He had no further opportunity. He was possessed by the devil. Born of that wicked one, he became Satan incarnate. The last state of that man is worse than the first one. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. Finally, he says, I'm going back. And he taketh with him seven spirits, more wicked than the first. And the last snake of that man was revealed. Here's a professor. He turns over a new leaf and possibly gives up some satanic habit. And he turns over a new leaf. He joins the church. He starts reading the Bible. He starts to pray a little prayer. But oh, it's dry. He walks through dry places seeking rest and finding out. He has no interest in the prayer meeting. He kind of feels out of place. He doesn't like to be around bright, happy, spiritually minded Christians. And he doesn't like to read the Bible. He feels he should because he made a profession. But oh, it gets so dry. He walks through dry places, seeking rest. He finds no rest in his heart and things he's doing. He's just formality. Try and keep up the front when he made that profession. Finally he said, what's the use trying to be a hypocrite? I didn't get it. I'm going back and taking with him seven more spirits. More wicked than the first. And the last state of that man is worse. I have known many men and women in my life who made a profession. They tried to live up to it. They tried to keep it. But finally, they couldn't hold out any longer. It was done in self-will. Finally, they went back, and when they did, they were far, far worse than they went back. From before they were, made that profession, they were far, far worse than at the beginning. Then again, Christ calls him the son of perdition. In John 17:12, Christ says, of all whom thou hast given me, I have kept. And none of them is lost. Now he's speaking of the whole church age. None of them is lost, save the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Showing the scripture foretold Judas's downfall. But from the beginning, he was an unbeliever. He was unclean. He had a demon. Never born again. He was the son of perdition. So you have all this evidence. And he went to his own place, as we read in this text. He went to his own place. He was out of place among the disciples. And he would have been out of place had he gone to heaven. He went to his own place. You know, friend, if it were possible, which it is not, but if it were possible to you, for you to go to heaven without the new birth, you'd be out of place. To prove that, you're out of place among godly Christians. If there were a prayer meeting, and some places they do have some wrong prayer meetings, where they pray sometimes 4, 5, 6 hours and the presence of God is there, you'd be very much out of place. You'd be in an atmosphere that you're just not fitted for. You know, a lot of people even now who are Christians seem to feel out of place at a prayer meeting. A Christian feels perfectly in place and at home in a prayer meeting and a Bible study. And if anyone were to go to heaven without the life of God in him, he would feel himself a foreigner and out of place. Because when a person is saved by the grace of God, he's a partaker of a divine nature, the nature of God, and that nature fits him for the presence of God. When we're born into this world by our earthly parents, we're born with a nature that fits us for this world. When you're born again, you're born with a spiritual nature that fits you for the next. Therefore, you'll be perfectly at home. But Judas was out of place among the disciples. Therefore, he'd be out of place and was out of place in heaven. He was in his own place when he went to hell. as where he belonged. And that's where he went. He fell from office. This is something we need to know. Judas fell from office. He never fell from grace. Elizabeth, he never was in grace. He fell from office. Christ had called him to fill an office. And he fell from that office. He became a transgressor, whom Judas by transgression fell. We read in our text. There's no question that he might have preached John's gospel. The gospel of the coming king, that Christ was going to come and reign. Now there are preachers today who'll do that. Oh yes, they say, Christ is going to come, he's going to set up his kingdom on earth. But they don't know very much about it. A man can even do that and not be born again. Judas undoubtedly did that. And he undoubtedly performed miracles. You say, how do you make that up? Where's your scripture? You read it over in Matthew chapter 7. In that coming day when Christ returns and shuts the door, he says, many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, open unto us. Have we not eaten and drunk in thy presence? He sat at the communion table. Hast thou not taught in thy street? And in thy name have we not done wonderful works? Christ shall say unto them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew. He didn't say I knew you once. I don't know that. He said I never knew. And so it's possible for a person to do some pretty wonderful things, and yet not be born again. That's plain in your Bible. He witnessed the power of Christ during life, Christ's sojourn here. He watched Christ perform these miracles. He even raised the dead. And he was especially warned. Christ said about a year before Judas sold him. He says, have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? And he said, the Son of Man goeth, as it is written of him, he's going to die. But woe be unto that man, by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good for that man, had he never been born. And that fell on the ears of Jesus. He heard it. He was born. Good word for that man, had he never been born. Think of the bargain that Judas made. He sold Christ for $15 in our verse. 30 pieces of silver. Imagine selling the Lord Jesus Christ for $15. You say, why, he must have been great. Let me ask you, what are you selling Jesus Christ for? A good time, companion, maybe prosperity. Then what will it profit you if you gain the whole world and lost your soul? Here is poor Judas. He sold the Lord Jesus $15. What did he get? Just 30 pieces of silver. He got the name of a treasure and the undying contempt, desecration of all men from then till now. Yes, Judas. You can even talk to men and women who've never read the Bible as you mentioned Judas or yet. They have no respect for Judas. Up in Chicago when I was having meetings there many years ago, they had those big stockyards then. One of the Christians with whom I was staying was for Andrew Cotton. One of the foremen in the big stockyards there, Swift Packing Company, he said, would you like to go through the stockyards and the slaughterhouse? And I said, yes, sir, I would. I used to work in one in Stratford when I was about 16 years of age. I said, that was quite a job when they would kill 800 pigs up to 300 pounds. They'd cut them in half, they'd half them after they'd clean them out, and put them in the freezer. There were 1,600 half hogs, and I handled every one of those 1,600 in one day. Take them about off the truck that came down the elevator and put them on these two chambers where these men were shooting salt into them. Then they were put into the frying pan. Then when I was home at night, I was ready for bed. But I was interested in going through this stockyard. Finally, he said, I want to show you something. And he knew it would interest me. He said, I want you to watch that goat in there. And here was a goat in a big bin where there were a lot of sheep. Finally, the door would open, and the goat would run, and about 50 or 60 sheep would follow. Then the man would shut the door. The goat took it from there. The goat went up this ramp, and up another ramp, up another ramp. They went up to the top floor where they killed the sheep. And just as they got up into the top floor, into the big bin, where before they went in to be slaughtered, old goat, he ducked through a door, and the door shut behind him, and the sheep were there. Do you know what they call him? Judas. He betrayed the sheep, and he got a good name. This is Judas. He betrayed the Lord Jesus. That's the contempt with which Judas is carried his tail today. A man who sought to be a leader, and in the end, he betrayed the law. He betrayed the Son of God. What could he have gotten? What was it he lost? You know what he got. I've already mentioned 30 pieces of silver, and the name of a traitor, contempt of all men. What did he lose? What could he have had? He could have had the Lord Jesus Christ in his personal sin. Furthermore, he could have had salvation from sin, and he could have had the assurance he was never going to hell, and he could have had also the absolute assurance he was going to heaven, and he was Christ for hell. That's what he could have had. But he didn't get it. What a decision he made. Think of the betrayal, the details of. Here Lord Jesus is sitting only a few hours away from the cross in the upper room. There are the 12 seated around the Lord Jesus at the last Passover. The Lord Jesus says, one of you shall betray me. And it was such a shocking remark that the disciples began looking at one another. John said, did I? James, did I? Lord, is it me? Is it me? No one suspected Judas, showing what a man he was, the cover up. He was the devil's cover up agent. God gave the devil a fancy. They got a look at his son, and Judas took his place on the cross. And after 3.5 years of association with Jesus Christ, watching him from every angle, Judas had to say at the end, I betrayed an innocent man. I betrayed innocent blood. And through the eyes of Judas Iscariot, Satan had a front seat, a close-up view of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, he says, is it I? Even Judas said that. Could it be me? And he didn't tell it with any telltale color in his cheeks. Is it me? Is it I? And then what next? The kiss. He kissed the Lord Jesus to give the signal of Christ's identity to those men who wanted the Lord Jesus Christ to put him in death. And Judas walked right up and said, Master, and Judas kissed the very door to heaven. For Christ said, I am the door. Bind me if any man enter in. He shall. Not only so, but you see Judas's remorse. He took that money, 30 pieces of silver, 15 dollars. And when he saw that Christ was condemned, he took that money and he ran and he threw it down in the temple. He threw it at the feet of those who had given him the money to betray Jesus Christ. They said, what is that to us? See out of that. You served our purpose. We don't want the money. That money was taken and they purchased the potter's field. The field of blood. That's called that to this day. And it was there that Judas committed suicide. And that's where his life ended. Wallowing in his own blood because he had betrayed the sinless blood. There you have Judas's remorse and his confession, his awful death. He went to his own place. What are some of the lessons we may learn from this incident? Well, there are many. It goes to show that example is not enough. Judas had the best example any human being had for 3.5 years. Yet he went to hell. Examples are enough. Counsel is not enough. Advice is not enough. Judas had the best counsel. The best advice. Yet he went to hell. Some say environment. Oh, if he could only change his environment. If he could clean out all the hot spots and the liquor store. Clean up the country. Get rid of all these red light districts. Clean up the country. Bring in a new atmosphere which is now polluted. Man would be different. We'd have a different nation. Don't you believe? It's not a new environment that men and women need. They need a new nature. Judas Iscariot had the best environment. He accompanied with Jesus Christ for 3.5 years. So you find poor Jews demonstrating very definitely that a man needs to be born again. To have a good example is a wonderful thing, but it's not enough to say. To have good counsel and good advice and a good atmosphere, that's fine. Well, those things should lead the person who is such a happy, privileged person to have all these things. Those things indicate the goodness of God that should lead you to repentance. In themselves they're fine, but in themselves they're not saving. You've got to have Christ. You've got to be born again. You notice it says here, Lord, is it I? He was asking the right one, wasn't he? You. And the other disciples, Lord, is it I? Yes, they were asking the right person because he's the only one who really knows. Lord, is it I? Am I the one? The Lord Jesus took stock. And I understand in those days, I stayed with some Syrians in Newport News when I first came south, and they invited me to eat with them. They operated a big restaurant. The Karens was their name, and I can't recall the other name at the moment. But they invited me, and there were the two families. They operated a big restaurant right across from the shipyards down in Newport News. And when I went into this room, I was surprised to see one big dish on the table. Well, this was new. And all that they were going to eat, they had in that dish. And they had one spoon. and you had to take your portion at one scoop. That's their way of showing they love you and they want your fellowship. They're willing to share equally with you. It shows, it indicates, I've got nothing against you. You're like that. Jesus, they take it even further in the East. They'll even take their piece of food and put it in their mouth and then hand it to you. And if you refuse it, you offend them. The Lord Jesus took the salt and he put it in his own mouth, like a mother might soften up some food. He said to his friend, "What thou doest, do it." He called Jesus to do this. I have an answer. What you do, do it. Judas went out. And he was so covered up that even the other disciples didn't understand what Christ was saying. They thought Christ had given them, told them, take some money and go and give it to the poor or to pay for their needs. And they didn't realize the other 11 were Judas. They were praying. The one Christ had been speaking of all the time. When Judas went out, Christ says, "Now is the Son of Man." And just a hint of what I'm going to say tonight. Why was Judas exposed right here? Because the Bible said that the church is built upon the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. The church is resting upon the apostles and the prophets. And Judas, God wouldn't permit that man to be in the foundation. It would be in the foundation. So Judas has to be exposed. And Matthias took his place, as we'll see tonight. So the foundation of the church is built upon Christ, the 12 apostles and prophets. Real born again men. Judas would have never fitted into the foundation of the church. And so you find Judas, his exposure. You know when Christ exposed Peter? When Lord, he said, "I," and Christ gave him the softly without life. Then Christ says, "Now the Son of Man's glory." Finally it dawned upon the apostles. Judas was the betrayer. Up to this moment, they must have been questioning, "Am I the one? Would I do such a thing?" But when Christ gave him the sign, and he went out, it may have been a few minutes before it finally dawned on Judas was the betrayer. First, they tried to calm their fear by saying, "Why, he's gone to give something to the poor, pay for it." Finally it dawned when Christ said, "Now is the Son of Man born." Then Jesus said, what a sigh of relief must have come from the other left. For a little while they had fears and doubts. He said, "I." But Christ's exposure of Judas brought peace. Lord is a God. And all I can say is this. The word of Christ will condemn, will expose the unreal, but give comfort and consolation to the genuine. I have his word for it. He said, "I give unto my sheep eternal life. They shall never die. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them to you. Is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." The word of Jesus Christ exposed Judas, but it gave peace and rest to all of them. That's what his word will do. His word will search and expose the unreal. At the same time that will bring peace and comfort to the saved. That their sins are forgiven. They have everlasting life. They'll never perish. Judas went to these leaders of the opponents of Jesus Christ, the scribes and Pharisees. He says, what will he give me? And I'll betray him unto you. They said, we'll give you 30 pieces of silver. They said, here. Are you saying to the devil this morning, I don't know about becoming a Christian? Don't think I'm ready for that. Devil, what'll you give me? And I'll say no to Jesus Christ and I'll follow you. The devil says, I'll prosper you in business. I'll give you some money. You say to the world, what will you give me? And I'll betray Jesus Christ. I'll reject him. The world says, I'll give you a good time. How many have made that wrong? And they've gone out to the meeting when confronted with Jesus Christ. They've made a deal with the devil. They've made a bargain with the world. They live to regret the day they made that bargain. How surprised the other disciples were when Judas was finally exposed. How surprised your friends will be. Some of your relatives. Yes, you've lived a good life. You've been an official in the church. You've taught the Sunday school. You've sung in the choir. And you haven't been an immoral person. But you've been trusting in your good life, the Savior, your membership in the church and your activities. And when in that coming day you're exposed, what a shock, a surprise that would be to some of your loved ones and friends. If you were a hypocrite all along, because you were very exposed to one in the end. Oh yes, the disciples were surprised when Judas was exposed. Notice what the scribes and Pharisees said have already put that. What is that to us? Judas, you see that. He gave you the money. You betrayed Jesus. That money's yours. You've served our purpose. You do what you like. You know, it goes to show that the 30 pieces of silver, what Jesus got for betraying Jesus Christ, he wasn't happy with it when he got it. He went and threw it down in the potter's field. Threw it down in the temple. The very money he got from those men to do in exchange for accepting things. When he did betray Jesus Christ, he had the 30 pieces of silver. They burned in his hand, burned in his conscience, and he went and threw them down in the pit. I don't want whatever you're selling Jesus Christ for today will not make you happy. Whatever you're selling Christ for today will not satisfy you. You'll find out you've been duped by the devil. I'm going to try and close with this. In Greensboro, North Carolina, I led an old lady, I think I told the story, blind, 60 years of age, dying with cancer. We led her to the Lord one day. She had a lovely daughter, Blanche Johnson, lived right next to me in Winston Salem. Blanche was a lovely girl, a very attractive girl. I tried my best to win Blanche's attention. She told me after, she said, you know, Wilson, many a time, the voice said to me, go and talk. I went to, she became very popular. Got in with the boys in the Cadillac, and lots of money, and he was very strong. He was the one who liked the world in those 3 years. I went back to Greensboro one day, and Mr. McKay was there now, then, with his wife, rather. Well, he said, Lester, you heard about Blanche? I said, no. He said, she's in the hospital, dying with a tumor on the brain. I said, why? Well, she's in the hospital 4 or 5. He said, I picked you up once, dear, as you asked for it. And he said, I witnessed to her, I hope that she has found the Savior. So the both of us went. When I walked in and took one look at that, that beautiful girl, that attractive, can it be true? She did die a few years later, a couple of weeks later, passed away. You know how many were at her funeral? The funeral was held in the First Presbyterian Church in Greensboro, North Carolina. Only her family. Who were the boys, the men, who used plans for sport, took her out daily at this time? Where are they? His plans. I did not come to pray that he she served it. Won't she? He said, let me tell you this. That's exactly what the world will do.